Hello and welcome to ABW Radio. How the devil are you all? You're going to have to forgive me. I'm hungover. I can't handle the drink anymore. I'm in hell of a state, yeah. So we're going to have to rely on the other guys to carry me today. Today, guys, I'm joined by Jason Schrader.
We can't even get started, mate. How are you today, mate? Yeah, I am the Shredder, the Colonial Cannon.
Thank you.
The OJ, the other Jason. Jace, mate, we're here for you, pal. We've all been there before. I told them pre-pod, everybody. I said this is the purest form of Welsh justice, is the hangover that Jace is dealing with today. But no, glad to be on here today, mate, especially after that game.
Cheers, pal. Thanks, you're digging me out there. Also joined by the real Josh Dore. Hello, Josh. You all right, pal?
I'm good, thanks. I can tell the hangover's taken you back a few years because my handle hasn't been that for a while. But yeah, it's all good. I'm glad we got a win because I was all out of what to say because we can't say Wenger out anymore.
I don't know. There's still a few people doing it. It's all a bit... I don't get it. Right. Let's give some shout-outs before we start, yeah? Archie, Joshua John, Daniel Cronin, Viking, Carlito El Guna, Rudy Rastlos. Oh, God, I can't read at the moment. Dean Robinson, 1983. Sorry, guys. I do apologise. James Clevitt, Corey Sealess, no nickname required. Stan the Man, JNZ, Michael Hahnemann, Tinny Toby A.N., this unique 79 is in there. Danny the GFP is there. Alonzo Spencer, Justard Chemical X is there. Oh, MJL is there. I've missed somebody. Stephen Edwards is there. The McManus is there. J Rob's there. Oh, honestly, guys, I am in a hell of a state here. This is pretty friggin' horrendous. Ant CL 1082 is there. Lossless. Gareth Drews. Tunji Samuel. Marcus Hodges. Stefan Selby. I can't read any more people. Yaz Guna's there. I can't read anymore. I'm sorry. I'm done. Loki 73. All right, let's get on with this. Before we get to today's game, obviously we did a pod on Friday after the news regarding Arsene Wenger came out. I've said my piece on the pod. Jason, Josh weren't on this. So I'm going to come to you first, Josh. What are your thoughts regarding this news? How do you feel about it?
Yeah, one of the generation that has only really conceivably seen Arsene Wenger as Arsenal manager. You know, there was always that time when you're about a 5 or 6 year old and you're getting Arsene and Arsenal mixed around, as you're soon learning the language. But as a manager goes, I think he has done more than anybody could conceivably do in that kind of position. I think it's sad to see him go in such a way. We could always talk about when he should have gone. And, you know, it's a bit like when you look at, you know, the other side of it would be, oh, but if he went after, you know, Champions League final, so he went after the Invincible season, I've seen some people stupidly say that, you know, you'll always be there wanting more. Perhaps we've got him at the right time, that I think because his legacy is so strong, I think most of the seasons, the 10 years, will almost go behind and we'll go, well, look at the tangible things we've got from that. You know, Herbert Chapman laid the foundations for Arsenal Football Club and Arsene Wenger built the castle that sits on top of that. And I think that's the best way that I could describe him, was just the class of the man and just everything. Just told you how to grow up and be a human. Sorry, I'm getting an echo from someone.
Probably me.
Sorry, Jace.
Sorry, Paul.
It's the empty space that's in Jace's head since his brains have melted from the hangover this morning, probably.
You could hear it bouncing around.
I think you're in bed. It hits every wall in the flat.
It's a good thing they're rubberized in your cell, then.
Touché.
Sheds, your thoughts.
Yeah.
How's it feel?
Yeah, today no whiskey today. Part of the reason for the wine is less calories, less sugar, trying to get some of this blubber off the front, but also just a nice glass of wine for our manager today, who I've been on the quote unquote Wenger out bandwagon for, you know, about 5 years now. And I've not, you know, let people, you know, I've let people know my feelings, you know, rather often, especially on platforms like this. Now that he is going, and I had a lot of mixed emotions though Thursday, because he did give us the Invincibles. He gave us two doubles. He revolutionized the way that the game is played and the way that we prepare for matches and the way that professional players in England go about dieting and exercise and things like that. And to deny that this man because of the last, you know, few years is a harsh injustice. So while I definitely am, you know, I'm excited for what next season brings and a fresh approach and everything, it's still bittersweet to see a man who's given us so much and has put the expectations that we currently have on the team. He created those expectations. And to see a legend of the game, you know, he'll probably be considered as the second greatest Premier League manager behind Alex Ferguson. You know, didn't win as much, and Ferguson has the trophies, but Wenger literally revolutionized, and a lot of what Ferguson did, especially in the late 90s and early 2000s, was mimicking Wenger. And we've got to really make sure that we tip our hat to that and not let these last couple of years sort of taint the perspective that we have on his whole tenure here. So again, re-energized, super excited to see what we can do next year with a new manager and a fresh approach. But definitely paying my respects to a man who is the reason that we have the expectations today.
Yeah, I well said. I think, you know, there's a lot of people trying to airbrush the last three FA Cups out of history at the moment. There's a lot of people trying to change the history of this club and for their own agendas, which is quite disgusting. You know, no matter what we think of Arsene over the last few seasons, those FA Cup wins are tangible. Their trophies. That lot down the road would love to have those trophies.
Okay? And I'll tell you what. One thing on this, Jace, the way he managed to keep us in top four with the limited resources he had after the move. Watch Spurs over the next 5 to 6 years. See where they go with the debt that they're going to have from their new stadium. Watch. There's already unrest at the club now, and they haven't even moved yet. See what happens with him, and then see what we were able to do under Wenger's guidance, the way he was able to use young players to keep us at least in the Champions League for that long during that period. Watch what happens to Spurs next, and then understand how difficult it was and the accomplishment that was that he created.
I absolutely agree, Matt. Absolutely agree. I think it's pitiful. Some of the things I've read and heard over the last couple of days have been quite disgraceful. You know, I'm excited about a new manager. I genuinely am. I'm excited to see what the future brings us. It's, you know, you've got to give whoever comes in, you've got to give him a year to set in. Unless he's an absolute disaster in the first season, you've got to give him a season. And, you know, it's going to be exciting times. But, you know, to try to rewrite history, to try to denigrate a man's achievements, not having it, we'll never have it. You know, let's wish him all the best and celebrate his achievements.
Absolutely.
Right, Josh, I'm coming to you now. Let's get on to today's game. Lineups, pretty strong lineup. What was your thought, pal?
I was interested in the lineup. I thought that we might rest and rotate a few out for Atletico Madrid that we've got on Thursday. Interested to see particularly the back four, Koscielny especially, lining up in that, because we know that he's kind of struggled with you know, playing more than one game in a week. But otherwise, there's just a mysterious Ozil sickness that could just be keeping him fresh for Thursday for a full game. And then just Jack and Checker out with general injuries as well. But for the players that were on the pitch and the team that we were lining up against, it was a good lineup that I think would help get some minutes in the right players' legs for Thursday coming up.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I would like to see Nozal on the pitch today because I think there's enough rest time between now and Thursday. But strong squad. And I think it's a good workout because, you know, after the news on Friday, obviously, there's going to be butterflies. There's a few people who are not going to know what's going on, etc. You know, there's going to be some nervousness there. And, you know, it's a good workout. Guys, I'm struggling to read today. I really am. I do apologise. But I have just seen that Chris Lodato is listening from a kayak in South Carolina. Nice. Well done. Jace, onto the game. We didn't really start aggressively. We had a Koscielny chance from a corner early doors. Mustafi, a great challenge on Arnautović in the box. Yeah. An Ospina save from Arnautović. What did you think of the first 10, 15 minutes? Were you nervous?
A bit. The one thing I will say was the one thing that did strike me about the first 10, 15 minutes, absolute wonderful atmosphere. It's not up to the team to create the atmosphere. It's up to the fans. And we came in there with a great atmosphere. You could hear it coming through the TV. And it's something that the fans choose. You choose to have a good atmosphere. The one thing that I'll say is that it didn't seem like the atmosphere did feed into the players because we did seem sort of trepidatious and cautious early on. A couple of half chances there and some good play. But overall, I think we were I think it was rather pedestrian for both teams. I don't think either one of us played well the first little bit of the match there. And I was really hoping for just somebody to grab the game by the scruff of the neck early on, but nobody really did.
No, absolutely. We started to after the first 15 minutes, we really started to create some patterns of play for a bit. Elneny had a mix-up and some interplay in the edge of the box. Bellerin had a chance. Welbeck had a chance. Then he skanked one. Lacazette had a chance. Then you had the Xhaka free kick saved by Joe Hart. Josh, do you think we were being wasteful? What was the issue you thought you felt at that time?
I think there was certainly a lack of creativity, or at least our most creative outlet was a player who was just coming back from injury in Aaron Ramsey, or a player woefully out of form in Alex Iwobi. I think that's where the problem has kind of lied, when you don't have our two most creative players in the squad, not even available for today, with Mkhitaryan still coming back from injury and Ozil AWOL. It was just a case of trying to get back into the swing of things. I thought Xhaka, after a dodgy few opening minutes, started to control that game and boss it and show why he's started every game this season for us in the Premier League. One thing I would add on that, a lot of the commentators going, Granit Xhaka has been sent off X, Y, and Z this time. I'd like to give a shout out for his disciplinary record this season. To say that he's started every game in the Premier League this season, has picked up 9 bookings, so hasn't been suspended for a single game. It has shown that he has tempered his aggressiveness to ensure that he's staying on the pitch and giving the most of the team. But overall, with how we were starting, it was getting pretty tight. West Ham didn't want to give us anything. It was a standard team that is just about going to go on their holidays. You know, they probably need another couple of points. And we'd be able to, the 4-1 would be a lot easier, probably a 4-0. But they were there, they were digging in, and they were looking for a point at least from this, because that would be a good result for them.
You talk about Xhaka, I think he's had an up and down season. I think, there have been times where he's been brilliant, and there's times where he's been woeful. But, as Don would say, he's got many friends in that boat where, this team has gone through some tough times this season, so it's easy just to have a pop at him. When it comes to his disciplinary record, when you saw Arnautović getting away with the shit he got away with again today, you know, the assault on Iwobi, where on Koscielny, where there's no attempt to go for the ball whatsoever, and Lee Mason lets him get away with it. You know, Arnautovic should have been off today. You know, there's elbows flying everywhere. There's late challenges. You know, Marko Arnautovic is a proper scumbag. Proper scumbag. You know, if he had a career ending injury tomorrow, I would laugh, because he deserves it, quite frankly. He does deserve it. No, he has no care for other players' safety, so why should I have any care for his? Jace, you know, the Arnautovic challenge on Koscielny, we'll go to that straight away. You know, he's sized him up and he's just gone into the shoulder charge. He's just gone into the shoulder charge. Not even a free kick. Not even a yellow card. What were your thoughts on it?
He gets away with that kind of crap all the time. Same way he did with... I don't understand how he wasn't carded whenever he literally almost ended Debushi's career over the advertising boards. It's the same. He gets away with it all the time, and I don't understand why. Maybe it's the teams he plays for just seem to get that sort of bit of the rub. But we've seen it time and time again from the same guy, no matter what team he's playing on. Referees just seem to not want to give him a card, and I don't know why, because he's got that little shoulder nudge and sort of elbow flick where he just really puts it into somebody. And either he, you know, I don't know if he's just sly enough where it looks like he's not doing anything, but he really is. But, yeah, referees seem to, you know, not ever want to give him a card. I would maybe check some bank accounts and see exactly where their last transfer into that account was from, because I'm, you know, wouldn't be surprised if it was from Arnautovic's home country.
Yeah, I had the streamers watching, had Phil Neville co-commentating as well.
Oh, yeah, I think I was on the same one, and what an absolute piece of shit!
What a fucktard! The guy's a moron. Oh, when anybody gives him a job in football, I'll never know. Not only is he misinformed, but he's a bloody... He's tit. The man's a tit.
Yeah.
Oh, no wonder he's a shit brother. Seriously. What an arsehole. Shreds... sorry, not Shreds. Josh. Elneny gets injured. There's a clash with Mark Noble. Both of them just going for the ball, edge of the box. Looked nasty. What were your thoughts?
Well, when I first saw it, I had assumed it was something to do with his right leg, which is where the main clash happens. But it's the way he lands that left leg. I'm not sure. I'm no medical expert to say what's gone with his ankle. It looks bad. I'd probably go ouch. but from that, maybe ankle ligament damage. I don't think it's a broken bone, but, you know, watch his leg be broken now, because that's the kind of knowledge I've got in the medical field and accidents. But it's really disappointing, because he's probably one of the only players that we've had who's had a consistently good season. And I think that we will miss him for the Atletico game, because he's always someone that's useful, very consistent to come off the bench. Mesut Ozil can come in and fill in for, you know, in that midfield. But overall, I think we're certainly losing out on a player if it does turn out that with the strapping he ended up with, that he's out for a significant period of time. And I hope for him that he makes it to the World Cup, because, you know, Egypt's a good side. And for that point, he should definitely, you know, hope for him for that bit at the very least.
Leeds came through at half-time that he'd rolled his ankle. Hopefully it's not that bad. I think they'll have to wait and see, get a bit of time. But it was just one of those challenges. Both eyes on the ball, just quite unfortunate. I did worry at first, but hopefully, touch wood, he'll be okay and it won't affect his World Cup or the rest of the season for him. You know, that would be harsh on a guy who I genuinely enjoy watching. You know, he's not sort of one of our big star players, but he is somebody who offers us an awful lot in the park. My next note is Phil Neville really is a moron. I hate him. Right, so Ramsey has a chance, Jay, and the first half comes to an end. It was a pretty uninspiring first half, to put it mildly, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I was pretty excited to see it in, to be honest with you, because I was like, let's go in, regroup, see if we can't maybe make a couple of tweaks. I think really one of the only really bright players in the first half, I'm going to say here, was Ramsey continuing to do his thing, and then also just Shaka sort of controlling the game, being that sort of metronome in midfield, and especially due to the fact that he had to come in and play with another partner there with Maitland-Niles. So, really happy to see the backside of that first half. And the only good thing that I really took away from it was the fact that we didn't concede.
Yeah. We created half chances, didn't we? We didn't, Josh. We didn't create more than half chances. We controlled it, but we didn't stop them, put the long ball over the top either, which, Newcastle used to great effect last week, didn't they?
Yeah, it was causing us problems, certainly. Yeah. There were a couple of mix-ups we had with Koscielny and Mustafi. Koscielny basically going as like a bulldog, just chasing the ball around and leaving Mustafi exposed at certain places. The main breakthrough that they had where Mustafi looked to have lost his man was actually because Koscielny had run out to the wing. And, Xhaka was dropping in, but again, it's a case of actually... Yeah, people were going to be throwing out that Mustafi was poor in that position, but look where Koscielny is in comparison. Yeah. And I think you need to have a look at it holistically, and that's the problem. The defence as a whole is a bit of a mess.
Yeah, and this is the one thing for next season. It's one of the things I'm quite excited about is, will a new guy come in and just get the setup and the coaching right on the side of the game?
Jace, I think that's the most important thing for me for our defense. Obviously, Koscielny's getting older, and we probably do need to replace him. I know we have who Wenger has termed the Greek boy coming up. Still not sure if he's ready for first-team football. We've got Chambers and Holding as well. I would love to see Mustafi stay, though. I think Mustafi's really got the skill set that you really want in a center back. It's just his decision-making at times. And I think that's something we can coach to. And depending on who we bring in, I definitely think that Mustafi can really raise his game because I don't think he's as rash for Germany because he's coached a little bit better there for them when he plays. And then when he sort of comes back to us, it's just sort of, I know our good friend, Lord Hillwood has said on the pod many, many times that the players now have to be coached like that too. It's to the meter, to the inch, basically. And I think that's going to really benefit us next season. And, a lot of people are saying that we need to get rid of him, but he's one of the players I would definitely keep because he's got all the talent that I think we want in a center back. It's just that decision-making and maybe that yard or two where he's out of position that I think would make all the difference for a guy like Mustafi and really elevate his game to have somebody come in and help with that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Right, guys, we're going to go on to second half. Let's give some more shout out to the Lord Hillwoods there, Ashley Campbell, Jim Howson, Paul Alvis, Kai Fletcher. Kai Fletcher says, Josh, I'm ginger too. Get that suntan lotion on, guys. Get that suntan lotion on. Kevin Lebeck's there.
This is all for our good friend Lord Hillwood right here. This is all for you, pal. All for you.
Daniel Cronin, Ashley Campbell. I mentioned Paul Alvis, I'm sure. I do apologize, guys. I am hungover and this is not pretty. And 235-100 is there. Thunder Roads there. No nickname required there. Marble Halls TV's there. Oh, God, I'm losing the will to live. J-Rob's there. Rudy Rastos. I'm sorry, I can't do any more shout-outs. I can't. I'm struggling to read. Oh, Jesus wept. Never go drinking on a Saturday. Bit unfortunate. Okay, on to the second half. It's pathetic. So listeners, whoever's listening, okay, I am very, very sorry. Okay, I do apologize. To Jaswi Rao is there as well. I've got a shout out. David Keith is there. Right, so the first half starts off. Monreal gets a shot. Then we get the Zabaleta challenge on Welbeck. Josh, He was given a yellow card by the referee. I know Welbeck's nowhere near the goal, but he's last man. Is it a red? Yay or nay?
I think if it's any other player other than Danny Welbeck and with his finishing ability, not a clear goal-scoring opportunity. So it's a yellow for me. I didn't think... it's one of those difficult ones. I'm sure if it was Granit Xhaka and John Moss was doing it the other way, or Lee Mason, they go, yeah, that's a red card, sure. But no, it's a tight one, but I think there is a covering defender in... I think it's a Bonner on the other side who's coming in to probably meet Welbeck at the penalty, just outside the penalty area.
Okay, Jace, your view on that, please.
I definitely agree with Josh there. I think it's probably, if it's anybody else with maybe a little more pace and clinical finishing, they would show the red. But it was far enough away from goal, I feel. I could understand the yellow, but the bias part of me was, that's a straight red. But I understood the yellow, even though I the objective part of me understood it. The biased part of me did not. Nice toe there, Jace, by the way.
Mate. Yeah, no.
Let's all give a clap for Jace. One of those days. One of those days. We've all been there, pal. We're gonna pull you through. We're gonna pull you through.
I'm
like an Arsenal team carrying a Wobi. We're going to pull you through.
Cheers, lads. Right, okay, on to the opening goal. We get a corner, training ground move. I want you both of your thoughts on this. I'm going to start with Josh. Some delivery by Xhaka, and it's some volley by Monreal.
Oh, it's like Paul Scholes and his pomp, wasn't it? what a ball in that was. Monreal at the just outside the penalty spot, catching that first time on the volley. I would say for me, he is probably the most technically astute players we've got in the squad. Santi Cazorla doesn't have an ankle, so he doesn't count anymore. But Monreal is just such a talented player. Really happy for him because we needed something like that from there. And there was an interesting stat that came through during the game, that we've scored the most goals from set pieces this season in the Premier League. I know.
And on the commentary, Phil Neville says, Arsenal aren't known for scoring goals from set pieces.
Oh, for God's sake. He's thinking of the Arsenal ladies. He's in a whole different game now.
I was lucky that I didn't
have that particular Neville brother on my... on my stream.
You had the good one. You had the good one. Jace, your thoughts on it?
Absolutely silky smooth. And that's why you get left backs that have technique. Spurs. I'm going to keep the C words to a minimum today. That's why you have a left back with technique. And that's why you don't put that said left back with technique. Back in the middle of the field to get the rebounds there. You do put him up there because we know what he's capable of. Monreal, just absolute class, getting up there in age, but still proving that he can continue to play with the best of them. And probably one of our more underrated players. Absolute best season that he's had at Arsenal, though, specifically when you talk about goal scoring, because this year he's just been unstoppable and absolute brilliant finish. And yeah, it was a set piece, and I sort of was feeling that we may get one from a set piece today, just because like Josh said, we've done it all season. We're the top scorer, and it hasn't just been off of a header here or the header there. It's been actually like very well designed, I think, set piece play that we've now put in our repertoire, and Phil Neville can go suck a D because he was wrong about that and many other things today.
Well, I'd like to add a special shout out for Masuako's defending on the post. If anybody's seen that, and then Joe Hart throwing pelters at him, it was the only time that Joe Hart had a legitimate shout at his defender for his mistake that he should have got to it. Because that was incredible. He was just not interested. So there you go, mate. You can have that.
In all, Yeah, but in all fairness, the whole West Ham defence parted like the Red Sea, didn't it?
It did indeed.
You know, it was unbelievable. You know, it was as if somebody driven a car through them. There you go, Nacho. Have a crack, son. And he did. And yeah. He did, you know. It was fabulous. After the goal, we really dominated the game. You had a beautiful running cross from Iwobi. Ramsey having a shot. Danny Welbeck with one of the... I thought Iwobi had a tough time today. I don't have a pop at him. He's had a couple of good games. And I thought he showed glimpses of what he could do. But Danny Welbeck, I thought, had a great game. But he, at one point, he drops the shoulder and just goes past his man. He couldn't make the most of it out, unfortunately. But my God, you can see him coming back to life. Do you know what I mean? You can see him coming back to life. You can see the confidence filling with him. Unfortunately, we then give up a goal to West Ham, and more to the point, the scumbag Arnautovic. It showed on my stream that he was offside on the initial play. Wasn't given. There you go. That's the way it goes. And I'm not going to moan about it. But by God, our defender was putrid, wasn't it, Chase?
Yeah, it just, you know, on the replays we had over here, I was trying to really just blame. See, and it's probably a really crappy way to just go about your life, but just looking to see, like, who made the mistake here. And there wasn't one mistake that was made. It was just sort of as a team, we just sort of let these players drift into positions and think we can get to them when we probably know that we really can't. I think that's what happens with Arnautovic. I want to say it was Mustafi just couldn't get over there quick enough, gave up probably a yard of space too much there to him. And we were burned for it. And it was, unfortunately, it was a really good finish by that twat. And at that point, I was really nervous. But yeah, we just, you know, couldn't completely clear it. I know the ball whipped in early was tough, but I sort of questioned Ospina's decision to punch there. I thought he actually probably could have kept it. Obviously, on TV, it's a lot harder for me to judge the pace of a ball, so I don't necessarily want to completely second guess Ospina's decision there. But you know, on replay, obviously looking back, I personally thought he could have just caught it instead, which would have changed the whole sort of dynamic of that build up to their goal. But yeah, just unfortunately, again, just that decision making and coaching that was lacking, that I think probably would have seen somebody else drop back into almost like a back three with Mustafi, Koscielny, and then someone else to help close that down, because you know Arnautovic was just wide open in the box, which is egregious, and not one person you can really call out for it, but more of just a lack of mentality from our entire team and understanding from our entire team of what needs to be done in that situation.
Yeah, I think we collectively needed to reshape, because I don't think Ospina makes a bad decision by punching. He gets a hell of a lot of distance on that.
Yeah, it wasn't a terrible punch at all. No.
He gets a good 30, 40 yards on that. So it's about a half, you know, middle of the pitch. So we can easily regroup there and get back into shape and, you know, really get two banks of four in front of them. But it just went to pot. So I don't want to put too much on Ospina for that, because I think the punch and the punch he put away was good enough to, kill the danger. It was just everything that happened after that with the was really the down to the rest of the team.
Yeah, we were all at sea, weren't we? We were all at sea at that point. And to be fair, it was a great ball through to Arnautovic as well. You know, I think the quality of that ball was excellent. And his finish, you know, he's got that in his locker. Shame he's such a scumbag, but, you know, he's a very talented player. Okay, on from that, Xhaka had a shot with a saved from Joe Hart. It's a cracking save, to be fair, because that was going in. Then Welbeck had a great shot saved by Joe Hart again. Joe Hart was having the time of his life at this point. You know, it was there were two top-notch saves. Unfortunately, I don't even know what to say about this. It's a bit embarrassing, in all honesty. Aaron Ramsey puts a cross in.
The Shass, the shot pass. It's a Shass.
Yeah, no, he meant that, didn't he, Chase? I'm sure he's a proud Welsh.
Even Jace can't claim.
Does him with the eyes. He's done it with the eyes from the corner.
No, he had.
With the eyes.
That was 100%. That was 100% to Aubameyang. That was nowhere near in his mind going to be a shot.
If I could do a Welsh accent.
In all honesty, I just burst out laughing when it went in. But I just burst out laughing. I just could not believe what I'd just seen. But it does say a lot about, you know, putting a ball in there, which is on target for people to attack. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know, you make your own luck. He's put the ball into a great area. The boy Rice has decked and... Well, I don't know what else to say. Jace, talk about it. Then please pass it on to Josh because I'm going to get some water.
Go right ahead. You need to continue to hydrate there. Get some electrolytes in you too. No, I 100% across. Zero thought in his mind that was going to go in. What he did think, though, is let me put this in a dangerous spot. And that's exactly what he did. And when you put a ball into a dangerous spot like that, good things tend to happen, especially against a shit defense like West Ham. And I actually think that one thing that absolutely helped Joe Hart look like an absolute idiot. Just I'm sure I have, but I can't think of any dumber looking goalkeeping decision than Joe Hart today. But Aubameyang flashing in front and just leaving it, not even trying to really touch it, just sort of flashing in front, held off Joe Hart enough that the ball bounced. You put the ball in a dangerous spot, and that's what can happen. And it was absolutely wonderful. Of course, a ball that bounces is always tough, especially where it did for a keeper. But all I could think when that ball went in was, sit down, Joe Hart. Sit your ass on the ground, because that's all you could do. And the fact that Aubameyang made a great run, let's not also take that away. It was a great run just to get to where he was and be able to flash in front of the keeper. And then obviously Ramsey putting the ball box into a dangerous spot. Absolutely brilliant play. And if we continue to do that more, we'll continue to have luck with that. And those will be the balls that now Aubameyang will get on, thinking that he'll just sort of leave them. But Josh, in all honesty, did Ramsey have any inclination that ball was going to go in the net when he put that ball in?
I mean, Arsenal players are terrible at crossing, so he's obviously having a shot.
Oh, come on.
No, I think, that's a cross. That's a cross into the corridor of uncertainty. I believe that the Americans have called that part of the pitch. Right across the goal face. So otherwise, I think it was quite a good, really good, great cross. And it's just a mix-up that you've got from the back three there that are trying to mark Aubameyang. Plus, Joe Hart's got to take control of that situation.
An Arsenal-like mix-up in the back three there.
You change Joe Hart for Fabianski, and I'm there. I'm back into that.
Or Chesney, or Almunia.
Yeah, pick a goalkeeper.
Throw speed at times.
Don't worry. Yeah, it's any of them. But yeah, there'd be any goalkeeper in that situation. And yeah, I've seen it all before, but I do think that it was, as Jay said, it was hilarious to see that go in. But a good goal. And we needed that at that time, I think. Because we had, Iwobi had come off and Aubameyang had just brought a whole new level to our game. Just carrying that ball with pace and purpose and just really, really scaring that West Ham back five. They just didn't know how to cope with him. You know, when you bring on a world-class... Wouldn't you just bring on a world-class striker and they go, I've seen this guy on FIFA. This guy's amazing. And then just like, oh, shit, now I'm playing him in real life.
Yeah.
And they went into their shell at that point.
I think it's important as well. They had the momentum, especially since they brought on Chicharito and Lanzini. They really had the momentum there and were putting us sort of under the cosh. And for us to respond like that, I think says a whole lot and says we've had some times this year where we've really had to respond that we've come through, and then we've had some times where we needed that response and we couldn't pull it out. Jace is going to love this next stat though that I'm going to throw out. Aaron Ramsey's goal today takes his Arsenal tally to 58 goals, overtaking Cesc Fabregas's 57 goals to become the highest scoring midfielder in the club's history. And that is why, ladies and gentlemen, we need that man to put pen to paper and sign for us on a long-term contract. And I'm sure Jace could not agree more with that.
Nah, mate, he's shit. Too many flicks and tricks. Tell him. Tell him. Fuck, we need Scotty Parker. We need Scotty Parker in this midfield. He'll give you everything.
Jesus Christ, Scotty Parker.
He's also been involved in 20 goals this season. Goals and assists. And look, I'm kind of bored with it all. I'm absolutely bored with it all. He's got 3 10-goal-plus seasons for the Arsenal. He's got, he's finished one season as top tackler when he was thrown out on the right-hand side for some stupid reason. It's ridiculous that people don't, if they don't rate him, it's ridiculous. You know, if he was up for sale, I'll tell you one thing, City, United, Chelsea, they'd all be after him. You know, he gives you attacking prowess. He gives you 12K plus every single game. You know, kid's amazing. What more do people want?
Ozu will get the headlines for being the most creative. But what Ramsey does off of the ball creates the space for Ozil to work. You always have to know where Aaron Ramsey is as a defender. The late runs from midfield are too devastating, and he has punished too many teams for you not to know where he is. And Stefan Selby just put in the chat, our best midfielder captain. I definitely think he warrants a definite look at that.
I had this conversation with Dom on Friday night, funny enough. After we did the pod, me and Dom had a chat for a couple of hours, and we were just shooting the shit. And he thinks Ramsey should be captain. And I understand why. For me, I'm not too sure. For me, I think let him play his game. But, you know, you've got a new manager coming in next season. Yeah. Let's take all the pressure off the new manager. Let's relax. And let's just see what he thinks. You know, there may be somebody coming in that he wants. You know, there are other players there with a shout. I think there are a couple of other contenders.
Who would you say those are? I'm not sure that there are, Jace.
To be honest with you, up until a few weeks ago, I'd have said Mustafi because he's such a good communicator. Yeah. And I like my captains at the back. But obviously Mustafi's had a bit of a torrid time in the last few weeks. So, you know, is that going to, hinder him more? You know, but it's very difficult. You know, I don't see Mesut as a captain at all. Agreed. If I'm very honest with you, I don't see any other options. I don't see any other options.
Not Granit? He's another guy that's been captain at a young age, because obviously Rambo was captain for Wales, wasn't he?
To be fair, I think that's a good shout, Josh. I do. But I think, you know, the Premier League referees have got it in for him. You know, he picks up a yellow card for his challenge today, but Arnautovic gets away with that challenge on Koscielny, et cetera, et cetera. It puts a little bit of doubt in my mind. If they were to make Granit captain, it wouldn't really upset me. Okay, it wouldn't upset me, but you know, I'm really torn on it. If you know what I mean, I'm really torn on it. So I don't know. I don't know. Back to the game, boys, because I just want to finish off. After the Ramsey goal, the camera panned to David Moyes.
By the way, Jace, you must have heard this today as well then. Moyes was compared to Ferguson Wenger. No. Did you hear that? Oh, he's up there. Up there with Vegas Ferguson. And I thought, you've got to be abs. And who the fuck is Harry Redknapp? Get the fuck out. There are two managers in the Premier League that are great. Alex Ferguson and Arsene Wenger. Everybody else is three levels below. Everybody else. Get the fuck out. Somebody, oh, my God.
And that comes from somebody who's rented Wenger out for 5 years. So.
Oh, my God.
It was pathetic. It was truly pathetic. It was Phil Neville. How the FA have given him the England women's job, I have no idea.
Swallow a bag of dick before you come on TV again. Get the fuck out.
It was ridiculous. On to the Lacazette goal. Josh, talk to me about it.
Yeah, so, the first one. Oh, spoiler alert for the second one. Goal driven, it's just a driven across. This was Joe Hart messing up again. Really good. This was a quintessential Wenger ball goal, I think. Just some lovely interplay outside the box with the ball just sweeping from left to right and Lacazette just there and just drives it at the near post. It does get a little bit of a deflection just to put it up through Joe Hart's arms, but it's at the near post, and I've been given Petr Cech pelters as a ball, as a schoolboy error for letting anything in at the near post. And same again, goalkeeper should do better, but fuck him, it's Joe Hart. Lacazette, just I think he needed that today. I thought there was a point where probably earlier I would have taken him off just because, Thursday coming up, and I would have gone, I'll get some really fresh legs, but. In hindsight, the fact he's got two goals and he's not an injury-prone player, so he can probably do the, Thursday we're playing. Sunday, Thursday. He can roll that out. He'll be fine for that kind of game. So, I'm not too disappointed that he didn't come off for that reason, but really good for him to get a goal in there, and it's really, really good interplay from us as well.
Yeah, it was. Jace, you're viewing it.
Absolutely love his celebrations. Absolutely love them, along with Monreal's as well. I think that's a striker's goal, 100%. Just the way he finished it, even though it takes a deflection, I still think that's going in. I don't think there's any way Hart saves that. It struck with pace, difficult location for Hart to get to quickly. And it's just... People were giving this guy so much crap earlier in the season. So much crap. And you may say that, his goals are coming, late. And the partnership that he's actually developing, though, with Aubameyang right now is going to be integral with our play next season. And to slate the guy off his first season, and I'll be honest with you, the guy's not a real physical guy at all. He comes from a league that's not very physical. He himself is not a physical player, and so it's going to take time for him to adjust. The same with Shaka. I'm still not going to judge Shaka's career with us based off of two seasons. You've got to look at a full body of work, really. And the thing that I love about Lacazette is when people have started to doubt him the most, he stepped up the most. And he's scoring goals for us that are sealing games. They may not be winners, and they may not be like a decisive goal, but they're goals that actually are putting teams away. And that's something that we've not had for a very long time. So I hear people going, I still don't really rate him. The fact is we missed him on so many runs today. So many. And if we can feed him early and often against Atletico on Thursday, they will be in trouble because the guy is clinical and can finish from anywhere inside the box. And he showed that today, even at the near post. Nice, pacey ball in. And the fact is we've got to get him the ball more because that's what he's capable of when he gets in the box. We've got to pull our head up. And people are saying Welbeck had a good game, and I'm not saying he didn't, but he did not. He had his head down on some of the most important runs that Lacazette made today. And we've got to be able to find him on those runs because of that goal that he scored. That first goal specifically that he scored today is the reason why. He's absolutely clinical inside the box. And as much as we all want to shit on Chris Carpenter, he was bang on with his projection of this guy could absolutely play in this league, and he's showing why.
Yeah, to be fair, by the way, Pirate alert. Okay, Pirate alert. They lost 5-3 today.
That's better than 10-1. Hey, progress.
Yeah, it's progress. It's progress, yeah. But, you know, big thumbs up for Chris. Right, guys, there's 134 of you watching, and we've only got 39 thumbs up. Come on. Come on, people. Share the love. Give us a thumbs up. Give us a thumbs down. I couldn't give a monkey's. Can't do it. Have a go. Get that thumb going. Chris loves a thumb at the bum. Let's have it. My next note is Arnautovic is a see you next Tuesday. He was going, himself and Aubameyang going for a sprint.
Yeah.
You know, he chucks the shoulder across Aubameyang, just sums up what a scumbag he is. It should have been a second yellow and he should have been gone, but there you go. Then we have the second Lacazette goal, Josh. And you had a really lovely bit of skill from Aaron Ramsey to sort of double back on the ball, take it down, cross it, give the ball across to Lacazette in space. Takes a touch to the side, and he makes no mistake. It was nice. What do you think?
Yeah, really good work from Aaron Ramsey as well to get into the position to play that pullback. I think that Lacazette was, making some really good movement once West Ham had kind of given up. I think the fact that earlier in the game, when we were doing that bit of, knocking the ball around and, you know, just dragging West Ham this way and that, just trying to tire them out, that really reaped benefits when it came to the 80th minute where we got three goals in that time. It is warm out there at the moment, and those players would, you know, for that amount of running that we made them do, and just mentally, you could see that Joe Hart had turned off at that point. I know he's prone to it, but that kind of fed all the way through that back four and back five that the game was up and they just lost their concentration, and Arsenal were just ruthless at that point. And we could have easily have made that 7-1 by the end of the game, but superb from Lacazette. I don't know, Shredder, what you thought, if there was anything more to that as well.
No, I think it's just Lacazette being Lacazette. I love it. I know I'm getting called out in the chat here for saying that Lacazette's not a physical. He doesn't want to be physical. He can be, but he doesn't want to be. That's not what his game's tailored to. So I completely take your points, absolutely. But he doesn't want to do that. He wants to be able to play silky smooth football. The great thing was I thought he hit the ball too far from him on the second goal for him to be able to get to it. And he actually was able to put a foot on it and get it in the back of the net, which was unbelievable there. And I wish he would have got a hat trick today. But you know, not much more I can say on the Lacazette. Just the guy's clinical. He absolutely knows where to put the ball to score goals. And we've got to continue to feed him the ball. And I think if we do that, especially on Thursday, Mustafi's got a pretty good long ball in him. If we can find Lacazette in the channels on Thursday, I think we'll be in a pretty good position to hang in there. I know a lot of people are, you know, some people are super positive that we can just absolutely roll over them. Some people are absolutely, you know, we'll never be able to create enough against a team that's so good defensively. I think it's right in the middle. I think we're very evenly matched. And I think the players that we could play on Thursday, and we're going to play Iwobi on Thursday. That's my biggest sort of fear at the moment. But if Iwobi can figure out a way to sort of get into the danger, Iwobi's great at getting in dangerous spaces. He doesn't know what to do when he gets into those spaces is his problem. And he gives the ball away, takes one too many touches, things like that. And if he can play well against that team and try to get rid of the ball early on Thursday against Atletico, then I think we'll be good. And I think we'll be okay. But we've got to get Lacazette the ball early and often there and feed him to his strengths, which I don't think we've done a ton this season. But if we do that, then I think we have a really good shot. And I think we saw today what he's capable of when we play to his strengths with those two goals.
That's for comments. That's about it for the game. We had a miss from Xhaka, but you know, they were done. They brought on Andy Carroll. He boys took the piss out of him, to be honest. They're just passing it back and forth to us, being there for a bit, making him run, which is quite funny. So I'm just going to go on some questions here. Thank you for the extra thumbs up. Come on, people, a couple more. And a big shout out to Natasha Nunes. Love Tasha Nunes. She's a superstar.
If we get to 60 thumbs ups, I'll flash everyone. That's the... My tits are just as good as everybody else's. Come on. You know you want to see them.
They're quite magnificent. Right. Let's get on some questions here, guys. First one is for no nickname required. And I'm going to give this to you, Josh. Don't you just love Montreal celebrations?
Yeah, I do, to be honest. He just looks so happy all the time. Just to score. And I think as a defender, you would do that. You don't get it that often, although he's done it 6 times this season, as many as Paul Pogba, I believe, in the league. Yeah, I would say that, yeah, Nacho is just, he's one of my favourite players. He's also one of those dark horse candidates for a captaincy, I reckon. You know, if you're not going to give it to one of those top tier ones that come straight to mind, I think as a model professional, I think Nacho Monreal is a good shout for a captaincy.
Yeah, fair comment. I wouldn't be against that, to be fair. I think he's one of those guys where, you know, he just keeps on performing. My one worry about him is he's getting older. And, you know, he's one of the players we need to bring in somebody to replace him soon. I know we got Kolasinac, but Kolasinac is a type of player. You know, it's his first season. You've got to give him a bit of a pass. And the new manager, obviously, will have his own ideas. But, you know, more cover at right back and another left back maybe on the cards. Jace. I'm trying to find the question, so I do apologize. Ashley Campbell asks, I'm going to go into all of us on this. Ashley Campbell asks, who do you guys want as our next manager?
I'll give my top three in order here. I'm going to go Leonardo Jardim from Monaco first. I think he's done a great job of developing players there. I think he's extremely tactically astute and is adaptive as well, which I think that we need because you play a lot of different styles actually in the Premier League and in Europe as well. So we need somebody who can adapt our game. Then I would go with Allegri, just the established name, knows how to win, has done it consistently at Juventus. And then after that, I'm actually going to take sort of a stab in the dark here and go with Nagelsmann from Hoffenheim in Germany. Absolutely knows how to set his teams up to the best of their ability and they're playing and has had to because Hoffenheim have not had the best talent and he still managed to get some decent results from that team there. So that's sort of my three. Josh, who are your sort of your top picks there?
Well, I remember us having a discussion, I think it was yesterday evening in our ABW FIFA podcast group.
Yeah.
I threw a couple out that caused some wry smiles, but I think my top three...
Tony Pulis. That was your top three, right?
No, my hipster one that came in as a radar was Laurent Blanc, but my actual top three are the same as yours.
Jason's response!
Have you seen it? Nick Wilson's just put in there, not Carpenter. Nicky, I love you. I absolutely love you. Oh, Jesus. Sorry, Josh, carry on.
That's all right. So, same top three, but in a different order. Top of mine would be Nagelsmann, I think, for me. Then it would be Jardim. Jardim mainly because he knows how to build and recycle teams.
Absolutely.
That's the big thing that I don't think this team needs actually a wholesale change. It just needs someone tactically to come in and do that.
100%.
But if you get to it and you realize, oh, I've got to make wholesale changes, like I think he'd be better placed to do that than a Nagelsmann. But personally, I think we just need a young tactician that is happy to sign 5+ years of his life away to Arsenal Football Club and happily just build another, not dynasty, but at least build up a decent run of, a time and establish an era at Arsenal. I think Jardim then comes into that for, yeah, his ability to build up. But again, probably he's less likely to try and build anything at the club for longer than 3 years. And then that's why I drop Allegri in. Great manager. I'm not sure with some of his decisions that he's made at Juve, it could be the board's not giving him the players he wants, or he's just making bad decisions in the transfer market. I also don't think the squad's set up enough for him. He'd have to drill a lot of them, plus bring in a few more workhorses, because we don't have enough in the squad for him. Plus, he's only really a 2 year plus manager. And for the way that Arsenal are going around about things, you know, we've had a manager for 22 years, and I'd rather not drop into the Chelsea model of rinse and repeat every 2.5 years, where we're just getting rid of managers constantly. I'd rather have a proper the name that becomes established at Arsenal.
That's worked for Bayern.
Has it? They keep going back to Jupp Heynckes or whatever his name is, and he's just going to hang around for going to turn him around again and win the potentially the treble. It's not always worked for them.
I don't think anybody's worth. I take that back. I think the modern game is a three to five year cycle, no matter who we're going with now. Unfortunately, that just seems to be where it goes. Unique 79 has a good take on this. He says Jace is our new manager, Schroeder is coach, and Josh is chairman with Danny as director of football. Danny is director of football. Get the fuck out.
Hang on, my first act as chairman is I'm firing Danny as director of football.
Honestly, Danny would bankrupt the club within 5 minutes.
He couldn't even direct a football.
There's one other name I'd chuck in. I'd be very happy with Jardim. I think he brings a young play as well. I think he's achieved at Monaco.
Yes.
Allegri, his technical astuteness, I think he'd make a lot of our players better players. I really do. Also, I mean, you know, you're only a two or three year manager if that's what the club want from you. And you look at Juventus, they've always had that turnaround.
Yeah.
Nagelsmann, I don't know a massive amount, but from what I've heard, he's a proper good young manager who's going to come through and do well. But the guy I think I'd want over all of those guys is Luis Enrique. I love Luis Enrique. Tough times at Roma, good times at Barcelona. I think he'd be a breath of fresh air coming into the club. I think he's very passionate. He'd instill some passion from the fans. He'd get them excited. Also, he plays football in a similar way to us, you know? So, you know, he'd get more out of our guys. And obviously, he's somebody who would look at our defensive issues. But again, you know, it's all pie in the sky. No matter who comes in, I'm hoping they do well. And I'm hoping, they invigorate the club. I don't think the club is stale. I really don't. I just think that, you know, Arsene's got to a point where... when you're 70 years of age and you've been at the same place for 22 years and football evolves so much, so quickly...
Complacency.
I don't think it's complacency, mate. I genuinely don't. I don't know what you would call it. I'm not really sure what the technical term is, but I just think, you know, we're a little bit stale. We're a little bit, when you've heard the same message so many times, it loses its impact. And I think that's where we are.
Okay, I will say, if anybody says Brendan Rodgers, you can stick his fat, stubby fingers up your asshole for the rest of your life.
Well, you know, let's wait and see.
Unless you like that, right, don't do that.
There are people who do, you know? What the hell? Whatever floats your boat. David Keith asks, do you lads think whoever becomes the new manager is a decision that will define the present and future of our beloved club? I think example of what happened post Brian Clough at Forest. Also, you can chuck in Fergie at United. Jace, your take?
Yeah, and I've said this as long as I've said, you know, Wenger should leave, is the fact that bringing in a new manager doesn't guarantee us success at all. You have to work for it. You have to put in the hours. You have to put in the time on the training ground, in the video room with the physios. Tactically, you've got to do all those things. And, you know, I think the reason we're all suggesting these different types of managers, we all individually believe that these managers would do those things to take us to the next level. So the biggest thing that we really need first is we've got to get back into Champions League. That's the first thing, right? And then we can start to worry about competing for first and second. And you got to take this in stages as well. We're never going to see another Arsene Wenger. Modern football is not set up like that. We're never going to see another Alex Ferguson, whoever you want to see. That's not going to happen. We've got to adjust our expectations here. And so the next manager is going to maybe not define us in our long-term history, but can easily set us up for success or failure in the short term. And the one thing I do have faith in, and I know people have, you know, this may not be a popular opinion here that I'm about to say, I have faith in Gazidis and Mislintat and Raul Sinlehi to help carry us forward. Those are three people who I think have enough experience and enough sort of foresight to be able to move our club in the right direction. And I'm hoping that the change next season invigorates first the players on the pitch, gives them the right sort of tools to continue to be successful, invigorates the fan base so that we create a great atmosphere at the Emirates, and then invigorates the people at the club to continue to drive forward and be successful and do more commercial deals and bring in more money that way, so that we can continue to be successful and have the funds that we need to compete, like Ivan Gazidis said, with the top players or the top teams in world football to continue to be successful on and off the pitch year in and year out.
Okay, Josh, your take on that?
Sorry, I missed the question.
Oh, donkey. Right, okay.
Did I carpenter that enough to where you forgot what we were? Okay.
You really did. Just throw that back at me. Yeah.
Josh, I'll come to you the next question then. I'm just going to give a quick take on that. I think this is the point now. You know, you saw on Friday, you saw Ivan come in with that press conference. You can look at it two ways. I didn't feel he needed to do the whole press conference thing because, you know, he just needed to make a statement because he didn't answer any questions. I listened to Ars blog yesterday before I went out, and I thought he was spot on with some of the things he said. But again, you'll have different opinions. You know, the Ivan post press conference is about him trying to take the tiller of the ship. That's the big thing. I'm in charge now. I'm the man. And that's fine because he is the chief executive. But now it's down to him. He has to make the right appointment. I don't buy all this business of a safe pair of hands for a couple of seasons to settle things down. I think you go for the man you want here and now. It doesn't matter if it's Enrique. It doesn't matter if it's Jardim. If you're going to go for an Ancelotti type, you know, forget it. You know, we're just going to go around the houses again. We need now to take on a new direction. Whether you're building on Arsene Wenger's mantra or no matter what you're doing, you need to get the right guy in straight away. It's a big job. Well, guess what? The Arsenal job's always been a big job. It's going to take a man of character to come in and get the best out of these guys. But there are those guys out there. It's us, up to us to go out and get the right guy. So that's my take on that. Josh, MSM25 asks, do you think after the Wenger announcement that the team will not lose another game this season?
No, I think we might. We might. I did come on the last radio show. Oh, no, it was on the podcast. And I said before Wenger had put in his notice that we wouldn't get in a single... Oh, I saw it's losing all of our away games this season, for the rest of the season. Maybe we'll go up and we'll get a couple of draws. But I think now that Huddersfield game, going back to, I think there is a nice little bit of romantic emotion in going back to Huddersfield, the team that, you know, the man that established the club first time around in, Herbert Chapman, just the club that he built his success around as well in Huddersfield, and the man that came up and re-established Arsenal as a real force in world football, going to that place to finish off his career with the Arsenal Football Club. I think we could get a good result there, but that Man U game still hangs over us. I'm not sure about that one. And then Atletico away as well. We may go to Atletico with a short loss still being okay for us. But, we've still got tough games coming up, and going by how the news that Wenger leaving hasn't seemed to have affected the performance on the pitch, because we still turned up like we would anyway and struggled in the first half and then just turned it around in the second. I'm not too sure that we can see too much into that at the moment anyway.
But wouldn't it be so awesome, Wenger, and so Arsenal to win away at Atletico, to win away at United? You know, it would be so like us. That's the thing.
It could be. But then we saw what they did for his 1,000th game. So,
just don't remind me. I had to pod after that. That was painful. Jay, Carly Joel Guna asks, where do you guys think Arsenal will finish next season?
I think we'll finish top four. I'll say third. I'm as much as people think I'm a negative Nancy on here, Jace. I actually am extremely positive, and I don't think we're talented enough to continue to push forward. We have the talent. We have to extract that talent from our players and that potential. And I do believe that whoever we get can do that. And I do think we'll finish third or fourth and continue to push on from there. So I'm extremely positive about this. And I do think we'll finish in the top four in Champions League next season.
Okay, no, that's really positive. I like that. David Keith asks, and I'm going to go around us all on this one. I'll start off with myself, and then I'm going to go to Josh, then you, Shreds. David Keith asks, do you think Arsene's decision was his own, or do you think he was pushed? Personally speaking, I think Arsene's decision might be a decisive tactical piece of genius. I really don't know, David. I think the writing has been on the wall, but we've heard so many different kind of rumours recently where, you know, there was one rumour that Arsene went to the finish last summer, but the club, you know, didn't have the infrastructure or the right man to come in to take over. So he stayed on another year or so. There's also rumours that, about Josh Kroenke. It sounds like a Josh Kroenke move, relating it to the LA Rams. But the LA Rams situation is very different. You know, there's $1 billion or $2 billion stadium in the making there. They had to invest money in that team to gain excitement, because you've got Chargers moving to LA as well, and you've got teams going to Las Vegas with the Raiders. So, you know, to drive people through the gates there, they need success. They need to build their brand in that city. I know they left there, was it 30 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever it was, but... Yeah. I see the Rams' decision as a very different kettle of fish. I thought the writing was on the wall for him. I think you look at our form. I think you look at his age. I think you look at everything that's happened. I thought the writing's on the wall for him. What's gone on behind closed doors, I've no idea about, and I don't think we'll ever find out about. As much as people will want to claim credit, or people will want to suit agendas with certain stories, Arsene Wenger knows an awful lot about this club. If people were to try to have a pop at him, trust me, he knows where the bodies are buried. So, you know, he could expose quite a lot of things that have happened over the last sort of 10 years. So who really knows? But for me, look, the decision's made now. It's just time to go. You know, for him at the end of the season, let's hope we can finish strongly in the league and win Europa Cup. But I'm bid him a fond farewell and send him off with the send off he actually deserves. But I, from when everybody says, oh, he's a dictator, he's this, he's that, it's very tough to push a man in that position. So I think it's just a decision that probably suits everyone. Josh, your opinion?
I'd agree. We've now got the world-class infrastructure behind that we've been needing to build. I think that there's certain stories that match up a little better with the events that have actually happened than other certain nuances of the demise or the end of the Arsene Wenger reign. I don't want to speculate which way or not, because we've all said we're all OTK on this. We've got no idea what occurs behind the scenes at Arsenal Football Club. But I certainly do think that the time is right. How it's been announced, again, is a certain nuance. Was it a case of, did the club want to announce it in the summer? But Wenger was like, no, I want to announce it to ensure that the fan base is united. Because that's the thing. Arsene Wenger, irrespective of what agenda or bias you've got on it, has always put the football club first, above him, above his own game, above his own. He could have gone to Real Madrid when we were struggling and gone, yeah, you know what? This is difficult. Trying to juggle a new stadium whilst maintaining top four, keeping competitive, keeping the fans on side, because that was the turning point when we were rotating. And, you know, he's made one ill-judged comment that has haunted him for the rest of his career, where he said top four is a trophy for us. But he has always put Arsenal first. And for that, I will always think that whatever he has done for us as fans to ensure that we've given him the opportunity or given us the opportunity to say thank you and vice versa.
Isn't it funny though, when Pep says top four is like a trophy, nobody bats an eyelid. When the scum are not judged on trophies, that's not how you judge them.
Yeah,
you know, I think when Mourinho gets top four and it treats it like a trophy, etc. Do you know what I mean?
So
Mourinho's been riled this year and they're in second.
Yeah, so this is the thing. There's always been a different rule for Arsene Wenger than there has been for everybody else.
Let's put it this way, Jace, to bring it back to like a football analogy. You've had a player that has got the ball and he's been dribbling it around you left, right and centre as the journalist. He does it to the journalist. You know, he's got them on strings. He can do and say what he wants. Eventually, you're going to get annoyed and two-foot him. And I think that's what the media are doing. They're just, you know, he's like Diego Maradona. Just someone's going to come in and two-foot him at some point because they're just annoyed that they've got egg on their face left, right and centre. And there's the occasional journalist that has gone, you know what? Nutmeg me. It's fine. It comes with the whole journey and process that Arsene Wenger has. And he's been here for 22 years. So that thought of, watch it when you go into a press conference with Arsene Wenger, you know, he's done it to me for 10 years. He's going to do it to you for another 10. There's that mentality built up in the media. Watch the next guy come in. He won't be as media savvy as Arsene because I don't think anyone really in world football has the same kind of mannerisms or way of dealing with the press that Arsene does. Fergie definitely had his own way of doing it with, you know, the reigning with an iron fist kind of way. But Arsene would just do it with art and just bounce around you and make your own words make you look stupid rather than doing it explicitly to you. And I think that's the difference between them is that there's a big batch of journalists that are either Arsenal fans, so they know what comes with the territory of Arsene Wenger in a press conference, or you've got those who aren't and have been given the runaround because he's always given them that sly, cheeky wink, or they've looked stupid with the misdirection that he throws out and they've been caught out by it. And that's going to happen. And I think that's where these certain headlines have come out. Also, the fact that as a fan base in the past 5 to 10 years, we've become so volatile to anything that is anti-Arsenal that it doesn't matter that, you know, what the journalist is writing. If they're looking successful and it doesn't care, they don't care where their traffic is coming from. They might write a piece about Tottenham and they may be expecting 50% of the clicks on that are coming from Arsenal fans. And the rest is just from the general footballing world. Because if he writes, oh, Tottenham Hotspur are the best team in the generation, they're the next Invincibles, who's going to that page? Maybe 10% of Tottenham fans. I can tell you 100% of Arsenal fans are clicking on that link and shouting at that journalist and building a profile for them and for their paper.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, I can't argue with that. Jace, your view? Yeah.
I think Josh summed it up well. I think we're too volatile. We're too sensitive as fans. That's our biggest issue is we can't handle criticism, even if it's objective and true. And it's led to this culture that we have now. But I think Josh summed it up perfectly.
Okay. Onwards then. And 235100 asks, we can get in the top four again if we get rid of the Dross in midfield and replace them with better players. And he adds the Dross, Ramsey, Elneny, Jack Iwobi. Only one of these would get into any of the top four.
Let me hold you back, Jace, before you go and jump down his throat by saying that Ramsey's not good enough for the top four.
Well, there's only one of them good enough for the top four. We all know who that is.
You know,
that's true.
I would give Iwobi some time. You know, Elneny is a squad player.
Yeah.
Jack, oh, God knows what's going to happen with Jack at the moment. But your thoughts, Jay?
I don't think Xhaka's Dross. Elneny is a squad player. Jack needs to go to Wolves. And Ramsey would get into Real Madrid. Simple as that. So I don't know. The biggest thing is we always talk about how crap our players are. They haven't been coached. They haven't been coached in how long? Let's get some, before we just write everybody off, except for Iwobi, who touches the ball too much. I do think that we have a good squad. We need to get rid, in my opinion, of Welbeck, who's just getting too old and doesn't look up enough. We need to get rid of Iwobi, who takes one too many touches to make the right decision. You can get into the right spot all you want, but if you can't find the right ball in the right spot, especially with as long as he's been playing for us now, this is his third season in the first team. Let's not forget that. Yes, he's young, but this is his third season in the first team. It's time for him to go find some greener pastures where his style suits that team. And then we need to get rid of Jack, because as much as I love Jack and absolutely adore his attitude, he's inconsistent for us and doesn't suit our style. And we need to find somebody and get somebody in here who we can pay what Jack's on or even a little bit more to play to our style and carry the ball through midfield, be able to hit that first time pass, not take one too many touches, he's done a great job this season of not getting injured, which is great. But the fact that you have to say that he hasn't been injured is a key part of his game this season says a lot about him. And I think those are the players we need to get rid of. But I think we've got a really great infrastructure just in terms of a team. Now let's forget about front office. Let's talk about the team that we have. We've got a great infrastructure. We just need to get the best out of them, which we haven't done for quite a while now.
Okay, Josh, your view on that, because I know you're a big Iwobi fan.
Yeah, the only thing that I really throw back to Jace as well was we're talking about, you know, greener pastures for the likes of Iwobi. Jack Wilshere, I think the boat has gone for him, really. That's sailed. But looking at Alex Iwobi, greener pastures could be the Emirates next season. Bearing in mind we're bringing in a new manager, our style is changing. It could either be subtle if we bring in someone very similar to Wenger in maybe a Luis Enrique who's looking at a Barcelona style, or we could be going completely left field and we're completely changing it. Someone like a Jardim would love a creative wide player. That's Alex Iwobi. We haven't got another one in the squad other than Mkhitaryan. So I think we'd still need him in the squad for that. Aaron Ramsey, you know, under another manager, could look awful. He's not. He's world-class. He's going to look great in whatever team you put him into. But there are going to be certain players under certain systems that don't work. And this is what we've been screaming for half of our players. But bear in mind the guy that's dictating the system, next season isn't there. The system's going to be different. And there's players this season that have been looking great that will look rubbish next season because the system doesn't suit them and vice versa. And I think it's a blank slate for everybody next season under a new manager and under a new regime, because we're not going to have the same identical type of football. There's going to be new players coming in. And I think there's certain personnel that do need to get shipped out in order to give the manager enough breathing space to do what he wants to do in terms of bring in the right personnel, or at least bring in a certain player that can help the rest of the team do what they need to do. So Jack Wilshere, I think, is one of those sacrificial lambs. But someone like an Alex Iwobi, bear in mind a team like Wolves are in the Premier League next season. Yeah, he's available. You could send him there on loan, perhaps. But a team like Wolves has got to want him. The Championship is too low a level for him. Maybe somewhere on the continent. If you bring in maybe a German manager, someone who knows the other leagues and is managed in the other leagues in the last 5 years, let alone last 22 years, and has known how that league has developed, then perhaps we'll start seeing more of our English players going and getting continental loans because of that knowledge and the system that we've got there. We'll stop seeing these loans that don't particularly look like they're turning out particularly well, because we'll have better, we've got better scouting, better footballing, or all round better footballing knowledge around the whole game. And it's not left as this single point of failure that is now leaving in the summer, that in Arsene Wenger, because he was fundamentally a single point of failure, which is why we've had to rush so quickly in the summer to put in place the likes of Raul and Sven.
Okay. I think you're both given good answers there. Jeffrey O'Hara asks, and I'm going to take this one. How long will all this fan unity last? I'm guessing to the day the announcement the new manager's made. I don't think there is fan unity, Jeff.
No.
I don't think there is. I think you still have a section who, you know, they're now trying to rewrite history. You know, you're now seeing certain blogs and articles which, you know, sort of decrying Wenger. I think, you know, whoever the new manager comes in, it's going to upset some people.
Yep.
I think there's a lot of people who are going to give him a chance. But I think there are definitive lines between certain sections of fans now, and they're going to remain there.
Yeah.
I think Blackburn George is getting a transfer to Burnley, but hey, who cares? Josh, to you on this one. Unique79 asks, taking more shots at the outside the area can rattle goalkeepers. Should we do more of it?
I think when the goalkeeper is Joe Hart, certainly, because he can be rattled. <by not sure.
laughs> Sit down, Joe Hart. Sit down.
Fair enough. Okay.
A more proficient goalkeeper. It's always good to kind of mix it up. I was watching this morning a video with Gianfranco Zola showing how to take a free kick and asking, did he always go for the same corner? And he said, no, occasionally I'd stick it over to the rest, the other corner. Not because I knew I could score in that one, but just to, you know, keep the keeper on his toes. And yeah, giving a long shot rather than the goalkeeper looking, saying, oh, the ball's 35 yards out. Oh, well, it's Arsenal. Give it 5 minutes and it might be in the box at some point. Just got to keep it mixed up with that. And I think that's an extra thing that Elneny and certainly Xhaka have brought to Arsenal, that kind of diversity in shooting, which, although you might not get a goal from it, just the fact that you're taking a shot, you know, you might get a nick from it and it's in for a corner, and we've scored 15, 16 goals now from set pieces this season. That's an option. That is certainly an option for us.
It's a bit like the ball over the top. When you get something like Aubameyang's pace, a ball over the top every now and again pushes defences back, gives you more space to play into. Yep. Keep them thinking. Yeah. Jay, Michael Hahnemann asks, is there any coincidence the fact that Ramsey is playing brilliantly when he's coming to the end of his contract next year? Playing for a move?
I don't know if he's playing for a move. I know he's been playing for a better contract, whether that's at Arsenal or somewhere else. He's going to have a long list of suitors, and we better do what we can. My big fear, and what sort of my ideal scenario would have happened this week was, one, Aaron Ramsey signs a new contract. Two, as soon as he signs that new contract, Arsene Wenger says, I'm stepping away. That would have been my ideal sort of flow of how this would have happened. Because I do think that Wenger leaves, you know, the contract situation with Ramsey up in the air until we get that next manager. And depending on who that is, Ramsey may not want to play for him. And Ramsey is our most important contract deal at the moment. Hands down, it's not even close with anybody else. We have to get him signed up to a new contract. or we're going to have a really big hole to fill with a player who's extremely unique and a lot of teams would love to get their hands on, because we're probably going to be playing those teams at some point, whether in Europe or in the league. And we all know what Ramsey can do with those late runs from deep in the midfield. He can really hurt you. So we absolutely need to get Aaron Ramsey signed up, because let's not act like he's on the best form of his career. He's been on really good form for a really long time for us now, and we got to keep a player like that.
Okay. Josh Ballin asks, do you think our attack Thursday is enough to score against a good Atletico defense?
Yes, they conceded 3 against Celta Vigo midweek, so I think we'll be okay. Every team can have a bad day. We certainly know that we can have a bad day. But we could also be on our game, and we've kept clean sheets against teams that, you know, we've expected to get rolled over by, and vice versa. And I think on a big European night, you know, remember the 08-09 team that, oh no, it was before that, wasn't it? The Arshavin game where we beat a peak Barcelona at the Emirates 2-1. Things like that can happen. And with this added news with the Wenger thing occurring, and this is the last chance of the team arguably getting Champions, well, it's now Champions League football, that they're going to have to really up their game and really go for it. Because Atletico, they haven't got that nuance of their manager leaving or this is their chance of Champions League football slipping away. You know, they're just in it for the trophy, for a weird way to put it. But, you know, we've got those extra incentives on top of that.
Okay. Unique79 asks, if we win the Europa League, should the captain for that game let Arsene Wenger lift the trophy, because he deserves to have one last image for us all to remember him by? I'll go with this. Unique, I've got to be honest with you, it's not about Arsene Wenger. That's what he would say. His mantra has always been, it's not about him. Do I think players would want that if we were to win it? Yes, I think they'd want it. Would he want it? I'm not so sure. So there you go. Jay, Natasha Nunes asks, how much of an influence will Arsene be in the choice of new manager?
Hopefully zero influence. As much as he's done at the club, it's now that he's leaving and we know that, it's time for him to not have anything to do with the club. He needs to take a step away, and the club need him to take a step away to sort of remove that power that he currently and had over us. You know, there's rumors of him going to PSG as a director of football and all this other kind of stuff. No matter what, though, you know, he needs to completely remove himself from the Arsenal situation. And I also don't think that our current sort of executive suite would allow him to have too much say. They may say, hey, you know, who do you like? You know, it's been rumored he sort of has you know, tapped up Vieira to replace him. But I'm not sure with the current regime that we have in place doing the search that the Wenger will have any type of influence on who our next manager is.
Can I counter that? I think he does. I think he does, because Ivan said it. He said that what we want to do is continue the philosophy that Arsene Wenger has brought to Arsenal Football Club.
You can do that without consulting the manager.
But that's what I mean. It depends how you take the question. Yeah. But the influence of Arsenal on the choice of new manager is certainly there. We're not employing Tony Pulis or Diego Simeone because of their style of football. Because that doesn't meet the Arsenal way that has been established. We're not going back to the 1-0 to the Arsenal George Graham era. We are continuing with the open Wenger ball style football that has been brought to us over 22 years.
So maybe an indirect influence, but not a direct.
No, not direct, but indirect. Yeah. 4 points that was brought up by Ivan Gazidis was to continue the good work that Arsene Wenger has done at Arsenal Football Club.
Yeah, and to be honest, I don't think there's much love between Arsene and Ivan anymore. So I think it's going to be the Ivan Gazidis show on the new manager. And that's what's going to happen. But Senyehi and Mislintat will have a big influence on it.
Yeah.
These guys know there's going to be some jostling for, I'll say, power or influence, whichever you want to call it, within the club. That is going to happen no matter what we think, because it's natural. You know, you got, what's the guy? Was the contracts guy?
Husfani.
Husfani. Yeah. Thank you, Josh. Between Husfani, between Mislintat, between Senyehi, you know, everybody's going to be sort of trying to look good, because Ivan Gazidis has got to deliver now. It's going to be his neck on the line. And you know, it's going to be interesting to see who they pick. Right, last question before we wrap up then. And I'm going to ask us all this. I'm going to start with you, Jay. Do you think Arsene Wenger will get another job in management before he finishes his career?
Don't know and don't care. I support Arsenal, and he's probably not going to be the next manager of Arsenal. So if he does, I wish him all the luck in the world, and I may even watch that slide a little bit, but only focused on Arsenal at the moment.
Okay, Josh.
I think nominative determinism says he's going to Russia to manage Arsenal Tula, but otherwise I can't think of I think he will work in football as well. I think there's also a point of that you guys raised during the Wenger news podcast with, you know, this job has taken a lot from him in his personal life, and perhaps he needs to take a year off and, you know, sort out what, you know, the fallout of what Arsenal has done to the rest of him, and maybe just enjoy football without that pressure of someone shouting at you at Stoke Station to tell you to leave the club. And well, probably just not go to Stoke, because who wants to watch Championship football?
I do you know what? No, I mean, I don't know what he's going to do. I hope he does take some time for himself. I think he deserves that. And no matter what he does, I wish him the very best. You know, he's given me some of the best moments of my life. You know, and I will forever, ever be grateful to that man for the moment he's given me. It's been superb. But it's time for a fresh start, and it's time to get excited about a new manager. But I just hope he has, whether he retires or whether he goes to work for UEFA, FIFA, he can do a number of things, can't he? So, you know, it's a case of whatever he does, I'll be rooting for him. As long as it's not United, Chelsea, or the scum. That's it. My God, Michael Hahnemann, my hangover is killing me. Honestly, I am dying, yeah. Guys, I got 69 likes. Come on, get us over the 100 mark. Be a dancer. Go on, have a go.
Hey, Jace, we're over 60.
No, we started to lose thumbs up when I said I would get my tits out, and so I said I would keep my I said I would get my tits in if we got over 60. So if we don't hit 70, these things are coming out quickly. So somebody better give the 70th thumbs up there, or you're gonna get to see some nice American man boob. There we go, 73. There we go. Hey, knew you guys had it in ya.
Yeah, Jay, thank you ever so much. I know it's silly o'clock over there. Well done.
Not bad. Appreciate it. Thanks. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for everybody in the chat having a good hearty chat today with everyone. Even though I am American, Omar.
Josh, well done, mate. Top show.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Always a pleasure, boys. We have the podcast coming up this week. I'm not sure who's on it. I'm sorry, my brain is dead. I'm going to sink into a pit and sleep now. Also, we have Nina 97's in the box. I love Nina 97. Also, we have a podcast Thursday night after the Atletico game. Look, thank you ever so much for joining us, guys. Yeah. You're always superb. To those listening later, thank you ever so much. Yeah, thumbs up, 5-star reviews. You know what we're asking for. If you can, guys, it really does mean a lot to us. Have a nice, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Have a great time. Keep it Arsenal. Onwards and upwards. Take care, guys. Oh, I'm pressing the wrong button all the time to end this bloody show.